to Harry Dresden, and it's your address, Michael, postmarked 2 weeks ago. Michael shrugged. I opened the envelope and found two pages inside. One was a copy of a medical report. The other was ornately handwritten, like the envelope. It read, "Dear Mr. Dresden, by the time you read this letter, I will be dead. I have not been given the details, but I know a few things that will happen over the next few days. I write you now to say what I might not have the chance to in the flesh. Your path is often a dark one. You do not always have the luxury that we do as Knights of the Cross. We struggle against powers of darkness. We live in black and white, while you must face a world of grays. It is never easy to know the path in such a place. Trust your heart. You are a decent man. God lives in such hearts. Enclosed is a medical report. My family is aware of it, though I have not shared it with Michael or Sanya. It is my hope that it will give you a measure of comfort in the face of my choice. Do not waste tears on me. I love my work. We all must die. There is no better way to do so than in the pursuit of something you love. Walk in mercy and truth. Shiro." I read over the medical report, blinking at several tears.
"What is it?" Sanya asked.
"It's from Shiro," I said. "He was dying." Michael frowned at me. I held up the medical report. "Cancer. Terminal. He knew it when he came here." Michael took it and let out a long breath.
"Now I understand."
"I don't." Michael passed the report to Sanya and smiled. "Shiro must have known that we would need you to stop the Denarians. It's why he traded himself for your freedom, and why he accepted the curse in your place."
"Why?"
Michael shrugged.
"You were the one we needed. You had all of the information. You were the one who realized Cassius was masquerading as Father Vincent. You had contacts within the local authorities to give you access to more information, to help us when we needed the concourse emptied. You were the one who could call in Marcone for his help."
"I'm not sure that says anything good about me," I said, glowering.
"It says that you were the right man, in the right place, and at the right time," Michael said.
"What of the shroud? Does Marcone have it?"
"I think so."
"How should we handle it?"
"We don't. I do."
Michael regarded me for a moment, then said,
"All right."
He stood up and then said, "Oh, the dry cleaners called. They said they're going to charge you a late fee if you don't swing by and pick up your laundry today. I'm running out for groceries. I can take you."
"I don't have anything that goes to a dry cleaner's," I muttered, but I went with Michael.
The dry cleaners had my leather duster. It had been cleaned up and covered with a protective treatment. In the pockets were the keys to the Blue Beetle, along with a bill to a parking garage. On the back of the bill, written in flowing letters, were the words, "Thank you." So I guess Anna Valmont wasn't all that horrible a person after all. But then, I've always been a sucker for a pretty face. When I got back to my house, I found a postcard with a picture of Rio and no return address with my mail. There was a number on the back. I called the number, and after a few rings, Susan asked,
"Harry?"
"Harry," I said.
"Are you all right?"
"Shot," I said. "It'll heal."
"Did you beat Nicodemus?"
"I got away from him," I said. "We stopped the plague, but he killed Shiro."
"Oh," she said quietly. "I'm sorry."
"I got my coat back, and my car, not a total loss." I started opening mail as I spoke. Susan asked,
"What about the shroud?"
"Jury's still out. Marcone got involved."
"What happened?" she said.
"He saved my life," I said. "Michael's, too. He didn't have to do it."
"Wow."
"Yeah. Sometimes it feels like the older I get, the more confused everything is." Susan coughed.
"Harry, I'm sorry I wasn't around. By the time I was conscious, we were already over Central America."
"It's okay," I said.
I didn't know what Martin had in mind, she said. Honestly, I wanted to talk to you and to Trish and pick up a few of my things. I thought Martin was only coming along to help. I didn't know that he had come here to kill Ortega. He used me to cover his movements. It's okay. It isn't okay, and I'm sorry.
I opened an envelope, read it, and blurted,
Oh, you're kidding me.
What?
I just opened a letter. It's from Larry Fowler's lawyer. The jerk is suing me for trashing his car and his studio.
He can't prove that, Susan said.
Can he?
Whether or not he can, this is going to cost me a fortune in legal fees. Smarmy, mealy-mouthed jerk.
Then I hate to add more bad news. Ortega is back in Casa Verde, recovering. He's called in all his strongest knights and let it be widely known that he's coming to kill you, personally.
I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. Did you see the subtle humor there? Vampires? Cross? God, I'm funny.
Susan said something in Spanish, not into the phone, and sighed. Damn, I have to go.
Saving nuns and orphans? I asked.
Leaping tall buildings in a single bound. I should probably put on some underwear.
That brought a smile to my face.
You joke around a lot more than you used to, I said.
I like it. I could picture the sad smile on her face as she spoke.
I'm dealing with a lot of scary things, she said. I think you have to react to them, and you either laugh at them or you go insane.
Or you become like Martin, shut off from everything and everyone, trying not to feel.
So you joke, I said.
I learned it from you.
I should open a school.
Maybe so, she said.
I love you, Harry. I wish things were different.
My throat got tight.
Me too.
I'll get you a drop address. If you ever need my help, get in touch.
Only if I need your help? I asked.
She exhaled slowly and said,
Yeah.
I tried to say, okay, but my throat was too tight to speak.
Goodbye, Harry, Susan said.
I whispered, Goodbye.
And that was the end of that.